Greetings. On behalf of the St. John's United Methodist Church family, I want you to get ready to have life spoken into you. These messages that you're going to hear by audio or video are carefully crafted that they might feed your faith and starve your doubts. We pray that God will make you stronger and will prepare you for the destiny that He's called you to live into, not only in the week to come, but in the rest of your life through how God speaks to us through His text and through these servants. We treat it with precious honor that we are gifted and given the opportunity to feed your faith. And so now, get ready, receive, and know that God has a word for you.
If you'd all please stand for the scripture reading. Today's scripture is from Mark chapter 10, verses 35 through 45 from the Common English Bible. James and John, Zebedee's sons, came to Jesus and said, "Teacher, we want you to do for us whatever we ask." "What do you want me to do for you?" he asked. They said, "Allow one of us to sit on your right and the other on your left when you enter your glory." Jesus replied, "You don't know what you're asking. Can you drink the cup I drink or receive the baptism I receive?" "We can," they answered. Jesus said, "You will drink the cup I drink and receive the baptism I receive. But to sit at my right or left hand isn't mine to give. It belongs to those for whom it has been prepared." Now when the other 10 disciples heard about this, they became angry with James and John. Jesus called them over and said, "You know that the ones who are considered the rulers by the Gentiles show off their authority over them and their high-ranking officials over them around. But that's not the way it will be with you. Whoever wants to be great among you will be your servant. Whoever wants to be first among you will be the slave of all, for the human one didn't come to be served, but rather to serve and to give his life to liberate many people." This is the word of the Lord.
Well, as Reverend Troy already mentioned, the district evangelism event here was quite inspiring and really fulfilling of so many people who came out to learn more about what it means to be a disciple of Christ and how to witness that faith to the world. But what he forgot to mention is that he was able to bring our keynote speaking, and he did a fabulous job of reminding us what it means to follow Christ. And so that idea really plays into what we've been talking about for this series of beginning and understanding what God created in us and what God is continuing to create today. And it plays into our next series, which starts in February, called Build. We hope you will join us for that, where we become inspired by the story of Nehemiah. But today, I wanted to bring you this message, this word, in this time of our country, a new beginning of leadership and a time of inauguration. So on January 20th, I know most of you were watching, and I was watching as we inaugurated our 45th president of the United States. And it was on that day that leadership shifted. The baton was passed, and another 4-year term was marked. The Chief Justice swore in our new president by asking him to take an oath. And he gave him that oath both publicly and privately. And in the oath, it asked that he faithfully execute the office of president with the best of his ability to protect, preserve, and defend the Constitution. You see, the word inauguration, it means beginning. And so, as the church, here at the beginning of a new year and the beginning of a new leadership cycle, we are reminded to pray for our president, pray for our government leaders, and of course, pray for our country. But January also marks the shift in our leadership of the local church, and many of you have committed to being part of a ministry team or committee. And for that, we give thanks, because you have been called by the Holy Spirit to fulfill a leadership role to lift up our local church and the local community for the glory of God. So, in a less formal way, you too have taken an oath to execute your office and to defend your faith. Christian leadership is not something to take lightly. It's not about power, prestige, or fortune. When we take on the call of Christian leadership, we are entering into a partnership with God. As church leaders, we are God's agents in the world. We guide and direct people to the love of God while working together to complete God's mission on earth. Christian leaders are considered servant leaders. And as we heard a few weeks ago, servant leadership can be traced all the way back to Genesis 1, where it says, God created humanity in God's image. In the divine image, God created them. Male and female, God created them. God blessed them and then told them, be fertile and multiply. Fill the earth and master it. Take charge of the fish of the sea, the birds in the sky, and everything crawling on the ground. Then similarly in Genesis 2, God tells Adam that he was put in the garden to work it and care for it. The Hebrew translation of this was actually to serve the garden and to keep watch over it. You see, man was created in God's own image to serve. And from the very beginning, we were given the responsibility to serve one another and serve all of God's creation. And we were given this responsibility because we were created in God's own image and given emotions and characteristics that allow for us to have a passion for service, a passion for hard work, a passion for determination, and a need for accomplishment. But as we know, in Genesis 3, Adam and Eve, they quickly gave up some of that responsibility. They made the choice to eat from the tree of knowledge, and they opened themselves to new emotions and new characteristics such as guilt, shame, selfishness, and sin. They chose to serve themselves instead of serving God. And this is exactly the attitude that Jesus attempts to dismiss in our scripture passage for the day. And he says, whoever wants to be first among you will be the slave of all. For the human one didn't come to be served, but rather to serve and to give his life to liberate many. Jesus understood that God's intention for creation of humanity, and so he represented it in his life, death, and resurrection. Christ came to establish a new covenant with God's people and to help to reconcile us back to our intended vocation as servant. Jesus, of course, was the great example of a servant leader. Of course, there are many other great examples of servant leadership throughout the Old and New Testament. We heard about one last week in the story of Joseph, who served God obediently, even in the most tragic of circumstances. Joseph was a natural-born leader, and as Reverend Troy told us, he stood out among his brothers. God used Joseph to save most of the Egyptian and Israelite people from famine and suffering. Joseph was given great gifts by God, and then he was called to use them. Just as in that story about Joseph and all throughout history, God comes to the rescue by using humans. Human agency is part of God's plan to reestablish the kingdom of God on earth. We are always required to be part of our own liberation. And we fulfill this by being the true servants of God. So, as we embark into a new year, a new leadership in the local church, we have to ask, what does it mean to be a Christian leader? Well, first, to be a Christian leader is to make the wholehearted choice to follow Jesus. The disciples, James and John, they weren't perfect, but they chose to follow Jesus. They chose to put their trust in him to lead them and to follow him wherever he went. There is an essay that came out in 1970, and it was called Servant Leadership by Robert Greenleaf. And in it, he says, the servant leader is servant first. It begins with the natural feeling that one wants to serve. And this conscious choice brings out one to aspire to lead. He says that person is sharply different from the one who is leader first, who needs to use power or desires to acquire material possessions. He says the leader first and the servant first are two extremes, and between them are the shadings and blends that are part of the infinite variety of human nature. Well, this story in the Gospel of Mark about James and John, that's exactly that. It's an example of leader first versus servant first. And it shows the true character of our disciples. They were just ordinary people. People who fell into the temptation of selfishness and greed. James and John had been invited into Jesus' inner circle, but they expected more. They were modeling the leader first principle. And yet, Jesus chose them to be his agents to carry the message. Jesus chose them in spite of their human flaws, and he taught them over and over again what it means to be a true servant of God. And they continued to choose Jesus, even though he didn't indulge their needs or placate their selfish interests. Jesus taught them that the will of God will continue to reign over pride and selfishness forever and ever. To be a Christian leader is to be a servant first, and to choose humility over pride and compassion over selfishness. Well, Jesus is our great servant, and he tells the disciples that the kingdom of God turns the world's ideas of power and glory upside down. The death and resurrection of Christ was God's way of putting the world back in order, because it challenges all of the human-created systems that put a set of humans on top. The reason that James and John misinterpreted Jesus is because of our human need to put ourselves before others, our human need to gain power at any cost. Power, selfishness, greed, sin. These were the emotions and characteristics that Jesus was combating in his time, and the same ones he is combating today. In the story, when the rest of the disciples heard what James and John had asked Jesus, they became upset, probably because they too wanted to be seated next to Jesus. Again, selfishness, greed. But Jesus made it clear that there is a major difference between the standards of greatness in his kingdom and the standards of the world. In the kingdoms of the world, the standard is power. Kings will ask, how many people do I control? How many people can I impose my will upon? But in the kingdom of God, the standard is service. Greatness is not in reducing others to serve us, but in reducing ourselves to serve others. And by studying this passage, it tells us that there should be a wide gap between the church's understanding of leadership and the understanding of the culture. The world will encourage leadership that pushes one up to the top. But Christian leadership does not lead through an office, because we know that all true authority comes from God. The second point is that Christian leaders depend on the work of the Holy Spirit to anoint us and to determine the direction and vision of the church. Throughout all of time, the Holy Spirit has been anointing priests, prophets, and church leaders. Because, as we already said, God gives authority to human beings to govern the people of God. But it was the Holy Spirit that brought the church into being. And this goes counter to our understanding of the dominant culture, where organizations and governments are brought into being by a contract between members. These organizations are considered owned by and to work for the benefit of their members. But the Holy Church is God's, and God alone can inspire the vision and the direction for leadership. To be a servant leader, sometimes we just need to keep in mind that we are servants first and leaders second. God has chosen us to lead, so we have to remember who we are working for. And Paul writes this to the church in Colossus, and he says, "Whatever you do, work at it with all your heart as if working for the Lord, not for people, because it is Christ you are serving." Servant leaders, they don't lead through their office or their position. They lead through a humble experience of Christ. And we lead not for our own benefit, but because what God is doing in our lives. Leadership comes as a gift from God, and it should always be treated as such. The third point is that Christian leadership is always done in community. Jesus was constantly choosing, calling, preparing, and commissioning a community of people. Christ intends for his authority to reside in a group of people who take responsibility to continue his ministry. Paul termed this the body of Christ, and he writes about various spiritual gifts that are given to a community. These New Testament passages about spiritual gifts, they all assume that the people in the body of Christ will work together so that each part of the body is joined and knit together and working properly. When describing these gifts, Paul does not indicate that one is superior than the other, but all are equal in building up the body of Christ and spreading the kingdom of God. I love how Paul writes about this in 1 Corinthians 12. He says, "Christ is just like the human body. A body is a unit, and it has many parts, and all the parts are one body, even though they are many. If the foot says, 'I'm not part of the body because I am not a hand,' does that mean it is not part of the body? If the whole body were an eye, what would happen to the hearing? But as it is, God has placed each one of the parts of the body just like God wants. If one part suffers, all parts suffer. If one part gets the glory, all parts celebrate with it. You are the body of Christ and parts of each other." So you see, to be a Christian means to be part of a body of Christ, and to be part of the body of Christ means to be a servant leader. All of us are given the authority through the Holy Spirit to live out our call as a Christian in servant leadership. You may not always have a title like chair of the trustees or soundboard tech or youth group advisor, but in taking your membership vow, you have taken an oath to execute your office as Christian, to live it out to the best of your ability, preserving, protecting, and defending God's will for the world. You are called to be a servant leader, to live humbly and peacefully, to care for others, to use compassion and justice, to keep God at the front of all of your decisions, and to depend on the Holy Spirit to guide you through life. As Pastor Troy told us earlier, it doesn't matter what chair you sit in. We are all servants of the Almighty God. And Jesus provides us with a clear sense of leadership. His central focus is to lead people into the kingdom of God. We are all leaders, and we are all witnesses of God's grace and God's love. So, servants of God, live out your oath. Consider your interests. Consider your gifts. How can you serve the body of Christ in a deeper way in 2017? Do you want to join a committee or a ministry team? Do you want to join a small group? Are you passionate about a new ministry? Is there a class that you would like to teach? How can you use your talents for the glory of God and to live out God's will in this local church and in our local community? Because each part of the body of Christ is important. So here, at the beginning, the inauguration of a new year, I ask you, how will you follow Jesus and serve God? Be renewed in mind and soul. Be filled with God's Spirit so that you can always follow Christ. Amen.